Nobody celebrates Christmas like us Puerto Ricans. So we invited our Boricua gal pal, Cece LaRouge, to come over and sip on a little coquito and take a look at some outrageous holiday moments and the gifts we love getting as kids.
Cece LaRouge has made a name for herself doing Facebook Live videos where she gives makeup tutorials and reads some of her fellow queens to filth backstage. Listen as Cece joins us to chat about what everybody wants for Christmas, peace on earth, and a 5-pound box of money.
Plus, the U.S. Post Office announces new stamps for 2018 that will feature the first American woman in space and a lesbian, Sally Ride.
And reality TV star and Trump aide, Omarosa, was allegedly pulled out of the White House, screaming and kicking.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feliz Navidad, everybody! This is Fausto Fernos, and we are doing a simulcast podcast on our Facebook channel and on our YouTube channel and on our podcast for Felicidad Navidad, Christmas, in Puerto Rico with Cece LaRouge! Yay! Yay! That's Mrs. Claus, if you're watching this on our video. And there is Mr. Claus, Daddy Claus, Mark Fillion.
Hi, everybody. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas.
Mark, Alita needs a little cover-up in the background there.
Oh.
She's a little, showing a little of her nips.
She's a big busted gal. She's ready to feed you for the new year.
Felicidades. Okay, so, you know, in we're celebrating Christmas Puerto Rican style in today's podcast. And no better way to celebrate Christmas in a Puerto Rican style is by having an authentic Boricua drag queen like Cece LaRouge.
Oh.
Well, you know.
Bring that microphone
close. Get close.
I try to do what I can for y'alls.
Now, I want you to, do you know what this is right here?
It's a wooden cucumber.
It looks like something you would enjoy, but it's an actual called a guido. It's a gourd.
It's ribbed for your pleasure.
And it's a little percussion tool. Why don't you try it?
I'm gonna try it.
Okay. And you're using a fork because you lost the regular instrument?
Yeah, the little steel thing. But you can use a fork.
I do have a hair pick.
Let me find out where this ghetto I live.
Feliz Navidad.
Okay.
Yeah, look.
That's
get
very
that rhythm
good.
Going, girl.
And now you can, you know, when you're doing a parranda, which is you're basically caroling, you're going to someone's house and you're going to sing, you know, Christmas songs to try to get them to open up the door so they're going to feed you drinks and food. But we already, you know, gave some lasagna and some coquito to Cece LaRouge. So we're doing this a little preemptively. This is called a jingle bells, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, you can have play
okay,
with that.
Okay, I get to. I have very little rhythm.
A clump of bells.
And that's why we gave it to you. And this is a little tambor, a tambourine.
All my rhythm's in my hips, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. So before I do this, let's get started by sharing the video feed on our walls here. Have you guys done that
I
yet?
Shared it, yeah.
I
did the share now option. Was that the right thing to do?
Feliz Navidad. I can't see it on our Feast of Fun page.
Oh,
so
no.
The jingle bells, for you guys out there that don't know, the act of making loud noises was supposed to scare away demons and devils and evil spirits.
No wonder it's so hot in here. My goodness.
And so you can ring my bell, says Paul Lynch, honey. Mm. Okay, so are we going to do this?
We're going to do it. What are we doing?
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Come on, sing along. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
We didn't have a rehearsal.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Thank you guys so much for parrandaing with me.
Yes.
Oh, it's our parranda pleasure.
So, Cece LaRouge, you are a drag queen here in Chicago with Puerto Rican roots.
I very much am.
And get close to the mic so people can hear you there.
I very much am.
And so Mark and I got booked for the Austin International Drag Festival, which is a very important festival for us.
Probably the biggest important drag festival in the world.
Yes.
So I heard.
And so we had no idea. We wanted to dazzle the crowd. We wanted to impress them. And Mark said...
And so we tried to hire other drag queens to pretend to be us, but nobody was available.
Wow. Talk about being short-staffed.
And I thought, you know, what would be good is just to have Mark, you know... So Mark came up with the idea of having Cece doing, lending us or borrowing or selling us...
Renting
her costumes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Well, I knew she did it, so we're like, let's do it. Let's get something. And that way I didn't have to, you know, slave away making anything and having coming out half-assed.
You know what? I think the best part about that whole transaction was just both of you just romping around my living room naked. I've had a great experience with both of you.
What did you get to see?
Everything.
I feel like I intentionally wore underwear to your place.
I believe you did, and I just kind of wish that you didn't, but it's not like you left very much to the imagination either.
Well, it's hard to contain my majesty, you know.
But actually, you know, we raided your wardrobe closet, and you had quite a collection of exquisite gowns for us, the thick and juicy girls like ourselves.
Well, thank you. I do try my best to try to make stuff for the big and plus and the big and chunky and the big and fluffy and every other adjective of which they think they follow in on.
The hungry girls who like to eat.
Hippos.
So, you know, in Chicago, you're actually known as kind of a couture for drag. I mean, you dress up a lot of queens and pageants in the clubs and all that stuff. What are some kind of big trends you've seen, like, in people are demanding or asking of you, like cat suits or certain colors or prints?
What they're asking me a lot of is what they see up on the red carpet nowadays. So anything that's falling within the fall trends, which are the golds and the browns and mostly some of the muted reds and the more bold reds. So if anything that deals with the fall time, it's usually around the holiday season. So fall colors is my favorite.
Because a lot of drag queens want to look sophisticated. They want to be elegant and God knows why.
Sure.
But Mark and I have a rule. And what is the rule when it comes to fashion for ourselves?
What? I don't know.
If it makes us laugh, we're going to wear it. us laugh hanging on the rack, then we're going to try it on. If it looks, you know, if we can fit into it and not look like we're basically squeezing ourselves.
If it looks stupid, put it on.
Yeah, we're going to do it, put it on.
Because it's like, we don't really like, I mean, I do have clothes from like the Gap or J. Crew and stuff like that, but that's kind of like your everyday kind of like wear. But if you want to like look like you're an idiot, then you want to definitely go out there and find clothes. And it's hard. Because we live in such a homogenous kind of society and everything's kind of the same. It's very Abercrombie and Fitch, it's H&M, and everything's kind of whatever. But if you really want to get something different, you have to kind of go out there and you have to find those stores. And sometimes it's hard. And you think, oh, I'll just order this from Asia. Look at this wonderful shirt. And then you get it. And it was like only $5. But, you know, you got the 5X, but it's still too small.
Mm-hmm. That's how they get you.
Mm-hmm. But then you rolled out this unitard. Which sounds like a slur, but it's not. You have basically it's like purple, pink, and lavender. It looked like a Starbucks unicorn frappuccino,
Or what I call the tie dye mindfuck.
And I said, Mark, you're going to look delicious in that.
I did look delicious, didn't I? It was fun. The great thing about a cat suit is you only have to worry about like wearing that one thing. It zips up in the back, and it's a pretty big zipper, so you don't have to worry. Like if you really have to pee, it's pretty easy to kind of like get out of and get back into.
So what are some of the Christmas traditions that you guys celebrate? I don't want to like turn this into the Frozen preview for... Coco that ran 45 minutes.
Did you see Coco?
No, I am not.
So Disney was worried that a lot of Latinos were going to go see Coco that were going to run late on Puerto Rican time or Mexican time. And so they put in, or maybe they're just trying to like shoehorn more Frozen merchandise and more Frozen, you know, hysteria. So their big movie this year in the Christmas season was Coco. And they had a 45-minute...
It was 21 minutes.
21 minutes, but it felt like it ran forever,
It went for
right?
a long time, because it was boring.
It was interesting. But one of the premises was the snowman is going around sort of trying to find new Christmas traditions for himself. Mm-hmm.
Right, and so he went around and he gathered a bunch, but then they ended up just like dying a fiery death. And they just decided in the end, hey, you know, whatever Christmas traditions you have are your Christmas traditions, and it's never too late to start a new one. So
they need to just let it go.
They can't let go of Frozen. It's made too much money.
It needs to freeze over. It's enough already.
What was some of like the big Christmas traditions in your family? Because I know that Mark, your family likes to open the presents on Christmas Eve.
We open them up on Christmas Eve. And so the kids in our neighborhood were always kind of amazed that we did that. And they were all very jealous, too. So sometimes like,
why do they do that?
It was a tradition on my father's side of the family. So I don't know if it was like a Norwegian thing or whatnot. Or, you know, French Canadian thing, but they just always made New Year's Eve. It was like a big deal. It was like good food and, you know, and then they'd open their gifts and hang out. And I think also, too, because we were a Catholic family, that morning on Saturday, Sunday or whatever, on Christmas, you had to go to church. So it was hard to like go to church and open gifts, because what are you going to do? Open gifts and then go to church? You're going to go to church and then come home and open gifts. So the compromise is like open the gifts the day before, and then the next day, then you can go to church.
I actually love my tradition. My tradition is that we get up, we open our presents, we go back to bed. Then we get up, we make our food, then we eat, then we go back to bed.
No, my father was always insisting you had to have breakfast before you touched anything. And my father, you know, Christmas in Puerto Rico was kind of a relatively new concept for our generation. Like, my father's generation didn't have that.
What do you mean they didn't celebrate Christmas?
Christmas is a brand new modern thing. It's not that old, you know? It's like the idea of exchanging Christmas presents and Santa Claus and all that stuff. That's, you know, that's a Coca-Cola Corporation invention, Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. The way we think of Santa Claus, the idea of exchanging Christmas presents in the morning, that's, you know, my dad did not grow up with any of that stuff. So he was kind of enamored with the new traditions that were being imported from the United States, just because of the fact that it seemed exciting and new and colorful, and it was a refreshing change of pace to the solemn Misa del Gallo.
What's that?
Which literally translates to the rooster's service, which was the Christmas service that you would go to church, and you know, you would exchange presents on Three Kings Day, which happened on January 6th.
Right, that's when the Three Kings came, and that's what the idea of giving gifts are. And the Russians do that too, I believe the Greeks as well. They call it Little Christmas, the Russians.
So in Puerto Rico, in my generation, and I don't know if this is true for people today, but you had sort of Christmas and then Christmas Light, which was Three Kings Day. So it was kind of like the stocking stuffers you would get on Three Kings Day, and you get sort of the bigger presents on Christmas.
I was always jealous of too, of like some people, like, because I went to a Catholic school growing up, but some people were like of German extraction, and I think the Lutherans do that too. They would do like St. John's Day, and so the kids would get candy and their shoes as like a prelude to Christmas.
Wait, what?
They would put their shoes out and like their parents or, you know, would put like, or Santa Claus or whoever it was, would put candy in their shoes. And so they'd come to school with the candy. We're like, oh, where'd you get this candy? I'm like, I got it in my shoes last night. And we're like, what the fuck is this? And we go home and it's like, why don't we get candy in our shoes? And like, we don't do that.
I would be goddamned if that would happen to me. My mother was ruder than that. She was rude.
What do you mean?
Okay, so what she would do is that she would take one of the Christmas stockings, which is the funniest shit ever. So she'll fill it up with like dirt and she'll fill it up with flour. And then she'll come right up to me and then she'll like rally the dogs around me to be like, Merry fucking Christmas, get up!
She would throw dirt.
She would basically like beat you up with a sock full of soil.
My mom is Joan Crawford.
She's tough.
Oh my. Yeah. She didn't seem like that tough when we met her, but that's probably aged.
You caught her when she was waking up.
Oh.
Holy shit, really?
Oh yeah, she's
and you forgave her for that?
Well, you know, I did the same thing to her the next year.
So it was kind of a tradition to like pour shit over people's heads?
We prank each other heavily.
My dad would do that sometimes. He would pour water on me if I wouldn't wake up to try to get us up.
That's a good idea.
Don't do that to me. That's a horrible thing to do.
That is not.
It was horrible.
I tickle Fausto's feet.
You what?
I tickle Fausto's feet, and sometimes I just grab him by the feet and just pull him off the end of the bed and say, get up now. He's like, no.
I want to see receipts of this transaction.
I'll show you afterwards.
But I think the Christmas tradition that I think is most awesome, especially with Puerto Rican Christmas is the idea of celebrating it with strangers.
Aw.
You know, and it's the idea of going to different people's homes and, you know, sharing drinks, food.
So when you do, when you would do this parada, you would go up to strangers' home? You don't even know them?
Sometimes, yeah, when we were teenagers, not as kids. But yeah, yeah, we would crash other people's parties. It's kind of like in your neighborhood, if you see people having a party.
You just go?
You just go. You just go and be like, hey, I heard you guys are having a party. Like, well, come on over, you know? And it was like, you know, especially as when we were in college age and adults, I have very fond memories of crashing a lot of cool parties.
When was this?
What years were these?
Yes.
80s, I don't want to talk 90s.
About the years. Are we talking about the year Christ was still walking around? Or?
But no, it's just you can crash people's parties still to this day, I believe. Well, I mean, maybe not with the hurricane, but we'll get
Chicago,
to that.
We're in Chicago, baby. We're in Chicago.
We're in Chicago, but, you know, like Mark and I, sometimes we're walking down the street and we see people having a party. And I was like, nobody invited us to a party.
And I said, nobody wanted you at their party because nobody wanted their dick sucked by you.
Oh, well, see, this is where I don't fall into that category.
It's kind of like, in the way I can describe it to people is imagine trick-or-treating.
Holy shit, she's got 600 people watching her video.
Girl, who the hell? This is Cece LaRouge's husband.
Get away from my
it's
wife.
It's a podcast, not an interview, admin.
Husbands.
Somebody's mad about something.
Well, everybody's going to be mad about something, so.
Girl.
Yep.
Look at that. House of LaRouge. Hey, baby.
Yes,
we are taping shit live. Okay, so the question is, with Parranda, it's kind of like Halloween where you go trick-or-treating, but instead of trick-or-treating, you're getting food and booze.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that foreign to of a concept to Americans.
Yeah, but do you think that the Americanization of Christmas going to Puerto Rico and then being introduced to it because they weren't really exposed to it.
Sure.
What do you think has done to it as far as traditions are concerned in the later years when it comes to new generations?
Well, I think Christmas is built on, any culture, any traditions are built on the shoulders of the past.
Agreed.
And Puerto Ricans are interesting. We are interesting people because we will take something that seems like an invasive species and we're going to hug it to death. You know, we're going to take something that is meant to sort of like whitewash or co-opt our culture. And we are going to take that and we're going to run with it, you know? And so I don't think anybody, any other culture, of course, I'm biased, but nobody loves Christmas more than Puerto Rico in the whole world.
I agree with that.
And Puerto Ricans play Christmas carols all year round.
Not, you know?
Well, because how do you differentiate like Puerto Rican Christmas carols from regular Puerto Rican music?
People, you know, part of it is I think it's Al Compás de un Sentimiento, and composers like Pedro Flores have had a really profound impact on the just the idea of tying the holidays with our own cultural traditions. Mm. And so really like Christmas and Puerto Rico are really married to each other in a really close way that you just don't have. You know, like when the idea of singing Jingle Bells in the summer sounds weird, obviously, but nobody thinks twice about playing Al Compás de un Sentimiento in the summertime at all.
Truth.
You know, in fact, people love it. They love all that music.
So they like Christmas in July.
Yeah, it's Christmas in July. And part of it, maybe it's Puerto Rico doesn't have winter season, so it doesn't seem so odd to. You know,
one of my good friends used to abuse a lot of substances. You know, she drank and did a lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
And then one night she did a lot of cocaine, and then she decided it was July, and she just decided, you know what, Christmas in July sounds like a really good idea. So she set up her whole house on a cocaine binge.
With Christmas decorations.
For Christmas. And then the next day, she checked herself into rehab. Because she was just like, why did I think that was such a great idea? I needed an intervention. Maybe Puerto Rico might need a little bit of intervention, is all I'm saying.
Well, because you're saying that we just being happy or loving our songs and traditions is not a good thing to
Well, I'm just saying there's
or
a time
staying
and
seasonal.
Staying seasonal. There's a time and a place for this kind of stuff.
Christmas. I would say argue that most of the stuff that's overtly seasonal is definitely not played year round, but some stuff that's tangentially seasonal, then it gets sort of acknowledged and played.
Okay.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. I'd rather keep Christmas at Christmas where it is. I like to experience Veterans Day and Thanksgiving and all that stuff.
And after my mom had a stroke, she just basically got tired of putting up Christmas decorations and taking them down. So I think one Christmas, she just put them up and she said, you know, these look so good, I'm just going to keep it.
Yeah, his mom does not decorate for Christmas at all. She has like 3 Christmassy kind of things in the house, and they're just up year round.
And that's it.
That's it. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I like that type of Christmas.
Now, what was the toy or present as kids that you wanted to have that you were just like, oh my God, this is going to change my life. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to it. Was that a pair of shoes, high heel shoes or cha-cha heels?
Mine was the Atari.
Oh, Atari 2600. What was the first Atari video game that you played?
I played Frogger.
Ooh. Oh, that was the expensive one. Uh-huh. Your parents spent more money because Atari came with Asteroids or it came with Space Invaders or some knockoff version.
Mine was Space Invaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for Frogger, you had to buy the cassette separately.
Oh, yes.
And I think I remember this because I saved money to buy Frogger and it was $40. And people really impressed that a 12-year-old kid could save
$40.
$40.
Well, if you ask your parents like for $10 4 times in a row.
I was doing chores. I was like doing favors for the neighbors. Like I was actually trying to earn money.
The only thing I had to do was just keep my grades up. That was it.
Aww. That was so nice of them.
And turn tricks.
Well, that was later on. And then I didn't need the Atari because then it just became, you know, hand jobs all the way around.
I'm just kidding. But for Christmas, it was always exciting because my brother and I would get into my mother's closet and we would open up every single one of our Christmas presents, look at them, sometimes play with them, and then wrap them back up.
What game did you play that you could wrap?
My brother and I, we got a train set one Christmas and we opened the train set up, completely put it together, played with it, put everything back in the box, and then just wrapped it back up, and nobody was ever the wiser.
Shit. I wish then, I was that slick.
And then my sister got Marty and I, because my brother shared, he and I shared a room. We're only like less than 2 years apart, so we're kind of like twins in a certain way. She got us sea monkeys, and so we knew we were getting sea monkeys, and so we already had the water, like, because you have to let the water sit for 24 hours before you put the sea monkeys in there.
Yeah.
And, you were in a hurry to see the sea monkeys.
Yeah, who would just want
to
see, I mean, sea monkeys, they were like a king and a queen, and the little princesses, and they lived in a little castle, and...
You're expecting, like, the Partridge Family.
Yeah, exactly.
But with tentacles.
Yes, exactly, and so we had the whole jar all ready and waiting for it, and so as soon as, like, we opened it up, we're like, wait a second, you have the water ready? And they're like, yep, we do. Like, oh. And so basically what they are is they're just little brine shrimp, right?
Yeah.
And so they're just little shrimp. They don't have faces like humans. He's not really a king. She's not really a queen. They don't live in Atlantis.
They're kind of creepy.
They just live in, they're That's, just they're
you little took shrimp. It right out of my head.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Wait, so they're shrimp?
They're shrimp, yes.
It's it's like mosquito larvae.
Yes, exactly is what it looks
You're like, hey, kids, celebrate Christmas with mosquito larvae. You take a tire and you let rainwater collect in it and then look in it.
But that's the power of marketing is like you just call them sea monkeys and all of a sudden it's something special.
Did you? I mean, we were told when we were kids not to leave rainwater standing out because mosquitoes were grown there and you could get dengue fever from those mosquitoes.
The hell's dengue fever?
Dengue fever is like chicken pox for Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. It can almost kill you.
It's like malaria. Virus.
Yeah. It's fucking serious. Mm-hmm. And I had one school teacher, she was like gone for 2 months because she got dengue.
Oh my God.
And I was like, yeah, it was it was brutal. So as kids, we would pour oil or bleach into the water to make sure that the mosquitoes died or they couldn't breathe.
Fausto's around, he sees like things like water containers of water collected. He like turns them over so the water doesn't like get mosquitoes.
Yeah, you don't want dengue.
Now we have Nile virus, right, around here.
Asian bird flu, pig flu.
It's all coming for you.
Pigeon flu.
I think the most exciting Christmas present, because it's so ridiculous, that I wanted was a goat that ate things. Named Gobbles. Gobbles, the goat.
Gobbles was a big thing. How did you get him to chew? Did you have to wind his tail or something? What was
so
the
it was
deal?
A giant plastic goat, and it came with like, you know, crap, like pieces of plastic that you could feed it in its mouth, and its jaw articulated, and then you would crank the tail, And the goat would eat, you know, like a pencil or a piece of plastic, like a straw. And, you know, you kept cranking it and the straw would come out its butt.
It would literally come out its butt.
Well, it had a little compartment near its butt, and you would open the compartment and feed him again. And then we realized that you could feed it cigarette butts. Just like a real goat.
Oh, my God.
And you can you could search this on the internet. Gobbles the goat, the hungry goat. You could eat. It could eat things.
Fans, please Google gobbles the goat. Wow, that was a lot to say.
I don't know if they can if they're live streaming or not.
Some of them have two phones.
They do.
Or they're in front of a computer.
Uh-huh. See, girl, people got... So anybody here, what was your holiday Christmas that you wanted? Marcus, Derek, Steve.
How many viewers you got?
Two. We got three. Honey, I'm not one of them viral drag queens like you are. You got 600 views.
740.
That's great.
And so what's your key to this is you basically you go Facebook Live as you're putting on your makeup, right?
Yep, pretty much.
I'm going to show this to the people over here. This bitch got 736. I don't know if you can see that. This is kind of meta over here. She is on her social media game. And then most of the videos are you just shaving and saying, hey, you know, Brianna, how's it going?
Yep, I say all their names and I'm just, and I interact with the people. So usually when you're doing a live video, it's a lot of things, you know, just like how many elements go into a podcast. It's the exact same thing that goes into a live video. It's just a lot less equipment.
And do a lot of the people that watch the videos, like, do they buy your merchandise or they come see your shows?
Absolutely.
So this is kind of like giving your fan base something to consume in between the shows. And
exactly. And I think with this way, it actually garnered a lot more attention and it actually did increase my revenue a lot.
Oh, good.
A lot.
So you recommend every drag queen take advantage of Facebook Live if they haven't already?
Sure, if they have the personality for it.
Well, some drag queens have not the most outgoing people, but it's still, you know, it can be a window into the world.
Performers, you know.
Let me tell you something, babe.
All right, let's hear it, girl. Let me give us the real tea. Heart,
bitch, are you paying attention?
Girl. Let me tell you something. Everybody can do a podcast, but not everybody should. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. That means that people who are really good with makeup or have something valuable to contribute to the audience, no matter how large or small of what it is, there's a niche. With that niche or whatever you want to call it.
A niche.
Whatever.
Knish.
Whatever your knish is, it has to make sure that it caters to a large group of people so that way it builds your following faster. How I built my following faster was because I can paint pretty good, I'm kind of funny, and I'm very rude.
Oh, you're rude.
I'm rude.
Because you don't mince words. You don't hold back.
And I'm quite salacious. So.
Oh. And you're not afraid to fucking cuss.
I cuss like a fucking sailor. That's a lot. Good. I say fuck a lot.
And you're like, fuck. What's your makeup? I don't know if people can see this. I'm going to bring it up close.
Can
we zoom in?
Oh.
Girl, look at that.
Hi.
Honey, House of La Rouge.
I look like Devin Green, but just Latin.
Yeah, honey, look at that. She is gorgeous.
Hark, it's Christmas.
And when you basically, like, when you're not in that costume, you're basically, you know, you're just a guy without eyebrows, basically.
Pretty much.
And so, like, you know, have you ever, because I know some people are tempted to actually just tattoo the makeup on their faces permanently.
Why?
But the idea is that makeup is supposed to be something that you change every often. But my half-sister, Jaji, she put on her makeup permanently.
Well, she did lip liner. She's also lives full-time as a woman because she, you know, has always lived as a woman.
Well, Michael Jackson didn't. He tattooed his eye makeup.
Everything.
Yeah.
So, but she also did eyeliner. But what did Michael Jackson do? Eyeliner?
He did eyeliner too.
He did eyeliner. He did his brows. He did his lips.
His eyes were tattooed?
Oh, baby, yes, if they even came with permanent contouring, he would have done it.
Okay, let's talk about your cheek highlight here. What's going on here?
Well, what do you want to know about the cheek highlight?
What is this, like, this high highlight?
Oh, this high, highest
of the highlights.
That highlight right there, this is Jeffree Star's. Skin frost.
Oh.
And it's the color is called ice cold.
Mm. Oh, honey, you look gorgeous. Sabrosa, honey.
Thank you.
Look at that. And the wig and the styling stuff.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
It's very gorgeous. Can you give a, can you stick that microphone in your mouth completely?
I mean, if I remove my dentures, maybe.
Ooh, girl, this is getting exciting here.
Maybe if I remove this piece
this right here. This ain't your mama's Christmas special, honey.
But it is.
Hey, we haven't talked about the Moore winning Alabama.
Losing Alabama.
Oh, yay!
Less is more.
Less is more.
Thank God. So
I was ready to have more bad news.
I was. But, you know, I was kept praying. I was like, Christmas is coming. We, you know, we just had Trump get elected last year, and this has been a terrible year for American politics. Something's got to change. People have got to be motivated to get out there and vote for Doug Jones. And you know what? They did. And resoundingly, African-Americans got out the vote. 98% of them showed up. They were about 28% of the electorate, mm-hmm. But they all showed up and were like, "This is gonna end now."
It needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. It needed to happen. And so I'd love to see what happened in Alabama happen in a lot of these other southern states, because they've been so locked into this Republican control that's just been like driving this country, you know, into a hole.
Weckle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
No. And so, you know, it's he won by a slight margin, Doug Jones did, but it was very important in several key counties where people just were like that Moore should have won or could have won easily. And these people just showed up and said, no, you're not. No, we don't want you.
They said African-American voters actually were the key ingredient. Without them, Moore would have won.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. And I'm not really even sure like how much like on the national level, how much outreach, because a lot of these southern states, the big politicians kind of abandon them, say like, never be winnable. We'll never be able to do anything. And now we're seeing that is absolutely wrong. And so we really need to step up and engage with the African-American voters, you know, because this is their country. That's their state. That's their state. They live there. They need to be in control of what's happening there.
I, however, wish there was a lot more proactivity when it came towards the presidential elections, because it seems like, oh, well, you know, this is just Donald Trump. He is not going to win this. And then you just seen, look at just what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, you know, you're a drag queen, so you see how a lot of people treat some of the drag queens that are on reality TV shows, right? Mm-hmm. And they think how they're the shit. Well, that's what their people are figuring out, is like, people think Donald Trump was the shit because he was on a reality TV show. Well, now when it comes to actually doing the job, when it comes to performing, how's he doing? You know.
Well, you were saying before we started taping that you're actually very grateful that a lot of the Rue girls are actually really sucking their performances because that makes you look better.
I sure did say that.
It makes you sound better, because it's like when people book you for a gig, they realize, oh, here's somebody who like, you know, has their wits together, performs on stage really well, and isn't, you know, basically meet with the fans and stand in line. And
not only that, I'm personable. I'm not trying to nickel and dime everybody. I may just try to blow every single guy that might come through my meet and greet line. But, you know, the point is that it's just like, I'm very approachable, and I don't want nobody to go, you know, I don't want anyone to come to my show and then walk away feeling like, oh, whoa, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. I get enough of that on Facebook Live.
But I don't know. You know, we were at a drag con, and I felt like a lot of the queens could at least put a tip jar. Like, they were just not even giving the option. Like, fans wanted to give money to the queens. They didn't know how. And I thought that also was a mistake.
Mm-hmm. For which show are we talking about?
Well, for DragCon. Because some of the girls, the big girls, were charging money to have a picture taken. But some of the other girls that maybe didn't go so far in their season weren't charging anything. But, you know, listen, put out a tip jar, do something, dance for it. But you know what's kind of interesting? Is that, you know, with this whole Moore in Alabama in the African-American vote, is that, you know, the African-Americans got out there and voted to have their voice, you know, heard. But Omarosa, who, you know, who was on the, you know, Trump's pretty much one of his only African-American people involved in his campaign. She was on the first season, the most hated woman
on reality television for a long time.
Yeah. So she was
first on the season of Apprentice. Mm-hmm.
She was on first season of Apprentice. And, you know, people have really hated her.
Why do they hate her?
They hate her because she's an asshole, you know, and she's a jerk, and she's condescending, and she's rude. And she actually went to like some, you know, a journalist convention recently, and like, I guess people got into a shouting match with her, and she's cantankerous, you know. So they're saying that last night, and I don't know if it had anything to do with the election or Alabama, but she was dragged out of the White House.
So it was kind of like Valley of the Dolls. Someone snatched a wig, threw it in a toilet, and they said, Miss Omarosa, shall I escort you out?
No, they were saying that she was dragged out of the White House and that she was one of the quotes from a White House aide was saying, physically dragged and escorted off the campus. And so I guess she wanted to see the president. You know, General Kelly is there and saying they're like, no, you can't see him. And then she's like, I want to go see him. So then she tried to get into the private residences and he's just like, listen, this is not like going to the principal's office, you need to go. And so, you know, so they're just saying it was like a simple resignation, but there was a hell of a lot more to it. She was shouting, she was yelling, she was screaming, and literally dragged out.
Dios mío.
Mm-hmm.
Serves her right.
You know,
and why did they kick her out? I wonder.
You know, I'm not 100% sure. You know, it might come out. I guess she wanted to, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But recently she did show up with her bridal party. She got married for a surprise photo shoot at the White House. And they said, no, you can't do this. You can't do this here. And then they said it because it was for security and ethical concerns. So I don't know if, you know, she wanted photo ops and stuff. She wanted to take advantage of the office. But, you know, one of my favorite, most cringeworthy ever talk show moments is, remember Bethany Frankel from The Real Housewives of New York? And she had her own talk show, The Bethany Show. Well, she was interviewing Omarosa, and it was just like the two of them. Google it. Like, I'm sure it's probably still on YouTube. It is so uncomfortable to watch because both of them are just kind of like, you know, basically unlikable women talking about who they are as people and how Omarosa is a brand. And Bethany's like, no, I don't really see you as a brand. I don't know what that brand stands for. And you're just like, ugh, you just want to gag.
What, you don't like Omarosa or you don't like Bethany?
I don't really like either of them. And just the whole way that conversation went and the way that they were responding to each other was just, it was super distasteful. Because it's like, this podcast, we only have people on this podcast we like. You know?
Even Shirley Phelps, you kind of like.
Well, you know, I wanted to hear her story. You know what I mean? She had an interesting, you know, she had an interesting thing to say. And we also knew somebody had reached out to her and they had had conversations. And now you see who is Westboro Baptist Church picketing now? They're picketing Donald Trump. And that's they're also weird. They're also picketing Kim Davis.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
And I don't know if you remember Kim Davis. She was the one who wouldn't issue marriage certificates to gay couples. And was it Tennessee or Kentucky? And so now she's
Kentucky.
Yeah. And so now she's she's getting picketed for being a divorcee and getting remarried, because technically, according to the Bible, that's adultery. So if you're against homosexuals, you should also be against adultery. And so what's interesting about her election is the guy that she denied the marriage license to, he's her opponent now. And I hope to God he wins.
Oh, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet irony.
I think he actually had her fill out the paperwork for him running against her, too, because she's the county clerk.
That's right.
So she's just sitting there giving him a nasty old look.
My gosh, I hope. Well, I feel like her mother had that job before her. So we shall see.
Cece, would you like to contribute to the conversation, or are you too busy with your Facebook Live?
I am not too busy with my Facebook Live. I'm actually just trying to jack off Mark here, but unfortunately he hasn't released his pants. You know,
that's called a Guido, honey.
I got it confused again.
We have I thought you were a Weinstein
and
here.
See, I thought that that's what they call me, the Harvey Weinstein of drag.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what they call me.
They do. Who's calling you that? I'll fight with them.
Me.
Well, you know, it's too bad that the stamps that we buy at the United States Post Office now, that they're not lickable. You don't lick them. They're all adhesive. Because now we have our first lesbian that we know of on a stamp that I know of. Congratulations.
You can lick her.
Congratulations to Sally Ride, you know, the first American woman in space.
The unlickable stamp.
I'm not sure she's the first lesbian on a stamp.
No, I don't know. I don't think she is the first lesbian on a stamp.
I don't know. Somebody should ask Siri.
Let's say the first lesbian astronaut. Okay.
First lesbian on a U.S. stamp. Because I know, Google that shit.
But listen,
Harvey Milk was on one.
Lesbians or like women who like women, or even if you're a dude, if you want to lick the stamp, go ahead and lick it. Lick it and stick it. But you know who else is going to be on stamps in 2018?
Who?
John Lennon.
He's not a lesbian.
Uh-huh. And Mr. Rogers.
Yay!
For real?
For real.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
He's a Canadian.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes. I think Fred Rogers was born in Canada.
I believe he was Canadian, and then he filmed in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, honey. He's he was born in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
But he worked in Canada.
He did?
And he developed Mr. Rogers for Canadian television initially.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then it was brought into. I might be wrong with that.
He filmed out of Pittsburgh. I know that.
But he was a Pittsburgh, yeah.
And that's why when you did that like that thing with Mr. Rogers, I like you for being you for E.
It's you I like.
It's you I like for E, who is the drag superstar from Pittsburgh.
The gender nonconforming child who puts on drag shows with other kids at Chuck E. Cheese. And instead of tipping them dollars, they tip Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's just a joke.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they do it at like community centers for other kids.
Yeah.
And so it's other kids doing drag shows for other kids. Mm-hmm.
That's lovely. I think that's a wonderful thing.
The mothers bring cupcakes, the kids put on the wigs, and then they snatch the wigs. It's just like a regular drag show.
But now you have 12-year-olds coming for your gigs now.
Oh,
girl.
No, girl.
And be like, thought you were
this
young.
This club is 21 and over.
This is why I stick with retirement homes and truck stops.
But you know, for a lot of people, it's a way for them to actually get into gay bars. At least back in the day, it was to get dressed up in drag. Because if you were in drag, they hardly ever check, because if you were performing, they wouldn't check your ID.
That was true for me when I was 17.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Did you do drag young?
I never got carded that way.
No?
Yeah.
Then again, I looked a little bit older as a dude because I was fat. Mm. I was huge.
You were a thick and juicy boy?
Yeah, you were big.
No, there was no such thing as thick and juicy. I was just wide.
Mm.
And so, you know, did that change the dynamic for you, like as a young gay person, like... When you were able to get into these clubs at a young age, was that like a better thing? Do you wish that you could have?
I guess for me it was, but looking at it as a whole, it just proves how shallow most of the LGBTQ, whatever part of the letter of the alphabet community that we live in, they're shallow.
Because they were shallow because you were young?
No, they were shallow because they're superficial.
Oh, you felt like you were judged harshly.
I was, But I'm glad that I wasn't the only one, but.
Sure.
But I just see it as a whole. I'm just like, wow.
But that's true of the whole world, though, don't you think? That's not just specific to LGBT people. But I think sometimes...
Go ahead and show me anything. Show me receipts. I'm waiting on these receipts because
the world. You mean they're saying the rest of the world is not judgmental
on
people's
appearance? Not as. And I'm saying that they're much more superficial than fashion.
I would tend to agree with you that I think, you know, at least for gay men, we definitely are very visual oriented, you know, but men are just in general like that. That's how our brains are wired, isn't it? You don't agree?
I disagree.
You're saying that men...
No, people, they're... this is just my own opinion about it, but from what I've seen is that they have their own agenda, and what their agenda is, they're a bunch of followers.
Mm-hmm.
So with being a bunch of followers, they're following up on what they see up on the trends of what they see up in the news and stuff like that. So for example, if there's just like their view of the perfect homosexual guy is just like, he's got to have muscles and no gray hair, and he's got to have a washboard stomach, and he's got to be a twink.
Well, I think that was definitely something when we were coming out back in the day, that was something that they really pushed on us. But I think now with social media, people are expressing what they want and be able to find what they want. And so if you look on Facebook or any place, there's all sorts of groups for bears, for chubs, you know, for older men, all sorts of things. So people can sort out what they want and find what they want. And we're not always shoved, like especially in the 90s, it was always like it was blonde haired, blue eyed twink. Everywhere you went, that was like that ideal, and you're like, if you weren't it, then you. But nowadays, I think that we've come beyond that for sure.
And I'm glad that we have come beyond that because of social media. But I also think up on the other side of the sword, social media has also given people a voice in that perspective when it comes to the negativity.
Mm.
So you got a lot of keyboard warriors that are just
the haters.
So you find people are like having fights that are not constructive.
Fights that are not constructive, or people who are just being online bullies. You get a lot of that. And especially everybody has an opinion when it comes to social media.
Sure. I mean, it's easy to be divisive on social media because you don't see the consequences of the negativity.
Exactly.
You can dehumanize somebody for any reason and you don't have to be around watching them weep into their keyboard. And it makes you feel more, if you're disenfranchised, if you don't feel empowered, criticizing or harming somebody else can make you feel very empowered because you have an impact on that other person, even if it's a negative impact.
Exactly. I but then again, it's just me. Yeah. I actually miss the days before the internet.
I kind of do too, you know. We did some crazy shit, baby.
Yes, we did. Mm. You know, this was during the times of the Dewey Decimal System, and then when we had dial-up, so then, therefore, if Mama did not pay the bill, none of us were going to be on the computer today.
Honey, you had to pay for the phone.
Oh, yes.
But your phone, the phone bill was cheaper back then than it is today. Just a landline cost you more money.
Oh, my God, yes.
But you used to have to pay for long distance. Uh-huh. Remember, like, you calling somebody in New York City or in L.A., and that was, you had to keep that conversation short.
Well, I was shocked when I moved here to Chicago and you got your phone bill and like you called this 5 cents, you called this 5 cents. 5 cents to make a phone call was 5 cents from home.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in Pennsylvania. I swear we didn't pay for like each phone call.
Well, some people had unlimited local calling, but then if you placed a long distance call or in some, I think in Chicago, we went from a 312 error code to a 773 and a 312. Mm-hmm. And then you had to deal with both people, a lot of anxiety because they were like, doing a long distance call because it was out of the area code. Even if you called the suburbs, like, you know, you live in Blue Island, I think, what's the error code there? 847?
708.
708. And so, yo, represent!
Yes, come on, 708! But I also remember about the other times. Remember when we did have the landlines? Remember when we called people up on the 800 numbers?
Yeah.
The Woody Woodpeckers, lines. The sex lines, the Freddy Krueger.
You can call Santa Claus on the 1-900 number.
Yeah, but
this is Santa Claus. You can talk to me about anything. Have you been a good boy or girl? Press 1 or press 2.
Oh my God, those were the best times ever. Best times.
But, the first time you ever had to decide what your gender was when you called Santa on a 900 number.
Did you ever hook up with those from the, because a lot of those party rooms, like people wanted to meet people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you actually hooked up like by calling a party line.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Girl.
One cool thing about the holiday season and those hookup sites and websites and all that stuff. And even like gay bathhouses, is that you would find military men who are on leave looking for sex that normally wouldn't look for sex.
Yeah.
So it was really easy to hook up with a soldier who was, you know, high on crystal meth on Christmas Eve, that because most people were with their families and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Very much so. But I like the internet because when we had, when it just started and stuff like that, I think the Yahoo chat rooms was my shit.
Oh, girl, that's how I learned how to type fast.
Oh, that's how I learned how to pick up dick faster.
Because if you were searching for dick and you couldn't do 40 words a minute, you were left out in the cold.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Real quick. That's how I got so quick.
Now, you live in Blue Island.
I do.
And so what's it? Because, like, a lot of people that live in Chicago, they've never been to Blue Island. Is Blue Island its own city, or is it just part of Chicago? What the hell's the deal with Blue Island?
It's technically a city.
Okay, so you guys have, like, a mayor of Blue Island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's basically a suburb.
Correct.
And what's the gay life? Because you live across the street from the gay bar.
I do.
Who's the bartender we met when we went down?
Shout out to Club Crave.
Yeah.
But we met one of the bartenders who grew up listening to our podcast.
Yeah, he said,
met Donnell.
Donnell is a really nice guy.
Yeah. Donnell, I think he told us, I listened to your podcast for about 3 years before I came out of the closet. I was just like, and he bought us a drink and everything, and he just gave us a big hug, and he was so sweet to us.
He got us a slice of pizza, a donut. And a box of Triscuit.
A box of Triscuit.
No, it's cookies. And there was cookies.
There was some Triscuit there, too. Okay. And they had some hummus.
I think the Chicago Sisters had just left, which is a trans organization.
Is that what it was? Yeah. They had snacks.
They had snacks.
I appreciate it when a gay bar has food and the food doesn't, you know, look questionable. I'm very happy.
And so I would imagine, like, being in Blue Island, because you guys are kind of by the Indiana border, that bar in that area probably is, like, you have guys coming in across the border or something, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
No?
No.
So is it just, like, kind of like a local hangout?
It is kind of like the small town watering hole of sorts and like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can actually get some pretty good trade.
Oh, there. And you live right across the street, so you're like, come on home.
Very simple. Very simple. And I got a nice private backyard.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, I'm not going to take them inside my house. I don't want them to see my house and what it looks like or my mama coming in.
Oh, and all that drag everywhere, right?
You know.
So you just do it in the backyard?
In the backyard.
Oh,
nice and private.
So what you about have the a, when you bring the tricks in
the
you,
winter still.
You suck their dicks out in the backyard with snow outside.
No. I don't do that. They do. They suck my dick.
Okay, but they suck your dick in the backyard with the snow.
Uh-huh.
That's not very comfortable, though, when you get on your knees.
Who cares? I'm the one who's standing.
Snow on your knees.
Who cares? I'm the one who's standing.
This is like a triple Xmas, you know, story where it's like Frosty a snowman and somebody was...
Well, Jack Frost nipping at his nose, that's fine and all that. But, you know, I'm going up one stair up on the staircase and he's down at the bottom stair. You know, I'll at least have like maybe a tarp or something like that so that way his knees are not covered in snow. But
here, use this towel.
Use this towel. Do whatever.
Hold an umbrella.
Cece, I do like how you're dressed as Mrs. Claus here. Like a younger Latina version. Señora Claus.
Gracias, señor.
And just like if you were a Puerto Rican woman who is as old as Mrs. Claus, your hair would be this color.
Or, yeah, bottled black. Because just imagine if I used my hair.
Now, what are the good drag queens getting in their stocking this year?
The good drag queens?
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any good drag queens.
Oh, that is, there's got to be one on your list.
Not everybody has to be naughty, have they?
Well, I don't know. If I'm, usually I don't purchase, how I actually do Christmas is that I don't buy things.
Sure.
I actually purchase things or I make things for them that are more personalized and that actually have sentimental meaning to me. Anybody can buy materialistic shit. And nowadays, with everything being so accessible on the internet,
sure.
Who in the hell wants to get a gift card?
So you're getting cuckoo clocks with
dicks
stuck on them. That's what you're saying.
I haven't thought of that yet, but you know what? Thank you for that.
So, Arthur Crass, so Michael, note. What are the naughty queens getting in their stocking this year?
What are the naughty queens in their stocking getting this year? Probably lube and a ticket to the Betty Ford Clinic and hopefully, you know, a free admission into Howard Brown. Hopefully.
You've heard the expression, I don't care what I get in my stocking as long as it's hard and hot. A lump of coal will do just fine.
The stocking's really a condom.
I mean, unless it fits in the shape of a suppository, sure. But where
are the good boys and girls listeners?
I didn't combine my gift list for this year. I didn't.
But I mean, metaphorically, what are people?
Peace on earth and harmony.
And what are the rotten assholes of the world getting?
They're gonna have to live with who they are. You know,
it's very
that's
deep
the perfect way to say
and
it.
That's what's going to happen. They're going to have to continue to suffer to be their insufferable self. Now, you taught us. You taught me a new drag term today, or I don't know, a makeup term. Garage door. Eyebrows or eyeshadow. Explain to the listeners what that is.
Okay.
How do you use it in a sentence?
All right. So I'll tell you the definition. And as a matter of fact, it is an adjective. Okay. An adjective meaning that it's a descriptive of up on something. So a
sort garage zoom door. In on you here, yeah.
So the garage door is just like your entire eyeshadow is going from your lid to your eyebrow. And there is no crease. There is no highlight. There is nothing. It's just... It's
like
one color.
Mimi from the Drew Carey show.
Yes, exactly that. Just think, imagine it as like that.
Okay.
Like it's just one solid uniform color.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it looks like garage doors.
Okay.
Garage doors.
When you open up your eyes.
I see it.
Garage doors.
Okay.
And so use it in a sentence.
So, ooh, that bitch got some garage doors. Like, come on, blue garage doors.
What are some of the other makeup mistakes that you hate seeing on queens?
I hate everybody copying my damn zebra brow, but it's fine.
What's your zebra brow?
The zebra brow is where I do the individual hairs, where it looks like, you know, stripes up on there, but I go like a lot larger so that way it looks like an unkempt brow.
Is that what you're doing right now?
No.
That looks like a solid block.
Yeah, it's a nice solid block the way I like it. Just a little curvy.
But normally you just kind of gently draw the brows. So
yeah,
they...
just kind of like wisp the hairs with liquid eyeliner. I'm seeing that a lot. What I notice is that people are copying other people. Yeah. I don't see any originality nowadays.
That does bother me, like how everybody looks like clones of Roxy Andrews.
I wish they would stop.
Yeah, I don't know, like, you know, and to me, one drag queen I really, really enjoyed seeing her. That's why I love Dragula, is because, like, queens like Erica Clash or Disasterina, especially Disasterina, her makeup just seems like, almost like her kid sister did it on her face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's how most of these drag queens look.
Well, no, it has a playful kind of childlike quality to it. And, you know, and
yep.
And she's just kind of this kooky, weird, magical person. I actually invited her to come to the podcast. She says she might do it tomorrow. So
that's awesome.
We might have Christmas with Disasterina.
Soon.
We're
wrapping up the year soon, so.
Yeah. So we're doing a incredibly strange Christmas music episode to wrap up the year. And then we'll be coming back
in January
after Glitter Day. Glitter Day is the second Saturday in January where LGBT people can celebrate the winter holidays.
Now, we may do, I have to talk to Brian and to Colette about whether we're going to do a Star Trek one after the premiere in January 7th, I believe is when they're doing that. So maybe we might have a podcast coming out the 8th or 9th.
It'll be a Glitter Day miracle.
I'm a Star Wars fan.
Now, you're performing you're looking forward to Star Wars that's opening in theaters tomorrow.
Yes, technically.
Do you have your tickets?
Yes, I do.
The Last Jedi.
Who's
going to be the Last Jedi?
I have no clue. And as a matter of fact, I like the way that the story has been progressing. And even though that I'm kind of sad that it's been, I think Disney owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad about that.
They also own the Alien franchise, which means the Alien Queen is really a Disney princess.
It's probably just going to be whatever, Anastasia coming out. Just be like, I'm finally a princess now.
Now, there's a lot of speculation of what the plot of The Last Jedi is. What do you guys think
it's going to be? The director has said that Luke Skywalker is the Last Jedi.
So no more Jedis.
Well, technically, according to this.
According to the books, he's not.
Yeah, so
he's not.
The Jedi is too much fun. You can't have it's a Last Jedi as in, you know.
Well, if you don't
Cher's farewell tour was our last tour.
If you don't have Jedis, would you have Sith Lords? You know what I mean? Do they go part and parcel?
Oh, so if you stop the Jedis, you stop the Sith.
Maybe
not necessarily.
Or maybe it's just to be all Sith.
Mm-hmm. But again, so who is the young girl that is going to meet the Last Jedi? Is she the reincarnation of the Emperor?
Maybe it's probably what takes after the last part. Like it's a continuation from the last one. I think the last one was
Rey. Rey meets Luke Skywalker island.
But is Rey the embodiment of Darth Vader? Is Rey the embodiment of the Emperor? That's what the speculation is, right?
Not necessarily the embodiment. It's just like it's who's going to take over.
But I'm just saying. Like their actual force, like Darth Vader's force or the Emperor's force, his personality and stuff like that, could have been passed on to another living human being.
Oh, truth.
And so I honestly think
the Last Jedi is Leia.
Oh,
I know.
Carrie Fisher went too gone too soon.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. But she should have been the Last Jedi, technically, before Luke and Leia had kids.
It'll be Carrie Fisher's last film.
If you follow along with the books and stuff like that, Anakin Skywalker, then Luke. Mm-hmm. And then Luke had two kids, Jason and Jonna. Okay. And then a third one later, which was Anakin. Yes,
okay.
He renamed his son Anakin to name after his father.
Ani?
Yes.
It's coming back? I believe that the books are no longer standard canon. But so the speculation is that Rey is going to go to the dark side and that the emo one, what's his name?
Who?
The bad guy.
Yes. I know who.
Nobody knows his name.
I forgot his name.
He was so memorable. He's going to become good and she's going to go bad. They're going to switch sides.
Cuz he's wrestling with the dark side, but he may not become a victim of he's trying to get into the dark side so he can fight it. Is that what I'm getting the impression
right? The scene that everybody's really trying to figure out if it was just creative editing is that the new Sith, the baby Darth Vader, sticks his hand out and Rey accepts it.
Mm.
Huh.
So the son of Princess Leia and Han Solo teams up with what could be Luke Skywalker's illegitimate daughter. All in the family, baby.
Ooh.
Like I said,
Rey might be a Skywalker too. So there might be shit going on.
Hmm.
They're just going to, you know, randomly do whatever they want. She's Jar Jar Binks' illegitimate love child.
Aww.
Jar Jar Binks is making a comeback.
She looks like she's related to Queen Amidala.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So there's a little Amidala in there.
There's something going on there.
Princess Amidala. And those frog guys with the, you know, the offensive, they're going to be making a comeback to it. I just want to see a Star
Wars
movie.
Tomorrow night, so.
Star Wars movie tonight. With all the offensive characters from all the Star Wars. Jabba the Hutt.
Greedo.
Greedo.
Mm. Why was all Greedo of offensive?
He's just look. He was offensive to the Greedo species.
Wrong. Yes, he was.
Not all Greedios are criminals and deserve to be shot at. You know, Han shot first. He didn't even give him a trial.
Greedo shot first.
It could, you know, he could have solved that if they had PayPal in Star Wars world.
He could have Venmo'd him some cash.
Yeah, just be like, you know, be like, go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a Christmas contribution, honey. Mm-hmm. That's all you got
to
do.
But the best way to support the podcast is to become a Plus member, and you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
And if you want to hang out with House of LaRouge here in Chicago, Miss Cece LaRouge, if you're nasty, you can celebrate every Monday and Sunday in the morning at Hamburger Mary's in Andersonville. Correct. In our neighborhood. You do a brunch.
Yes.
You're there every Saturday?
Sunday.
Every Sunday?
There every first and third Sunday. Every first and third Sunday, you can catch me at Hamburger Mary's in Andersonville, which is 5400 North Clark Street in Chicago. Seating starts at 11 and showtime begins at noon on the dot.
Mm. I was going to the gym. I walked by and I saw you performing in there. And I said, let me give this bitch a dollar. So I pulled out a dollar. I walked through the door. You saw me come in and you did a little dance for me. I gave you the dollar and everybody was just like, oh my God, this strange guy just walked in off the street to give this girl a dollar. And they applauded. One person even stood up and applauded. I couldn't believe it.
Very true. See, yeah. We'll see. Fausto and Mark do contribute to the local drag community.
Oh, that one.
If anybody has that on film, I want to see it because it was a very special moment.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if you give a drag queen a dollar, it's not, you're not just sharing a moment. You make a friend for life.
I agree with that.
Although I've given some drag queens dollars, and then later on they went on social media and said I hadn't given them any money. And I was like, bitch, I want a receipt now next time I give you a dollar. And next time anyone gives that drag queen a dollar, they're going to ask for a receipt.
Yes, get a receipt.
I'm going to give them a receipt now.
So we're going to have to now Venmo or PayPal or Apple Pay money to the drag queen so we can have a receipt so she can't go on social media and say you never tipped her.
Well, that's what a lot of girls are doing. They're just being like, hey, Venmo me the money. If you don't have money to tip me, just Venmo me the money. You know, and I think that's a great idea, and you definitely should.
Yeah, but it just sounds really greedy. I think, like I said, it depends upon drag queen's mentality of thinking when it comes to performing. If they're just doing it for the money and they're like literally capitalizing on the fact that I say, give me money, give me money, give me money, give me money, then it's going to be shitty. It's going to be shitty. They ain't going to get no money. Which I don't care about the money. Let me just
Well,
grope
you know, it's one of those things. Drag is definitely an art. So if you don't have an artist's heart, it's not necessarily going to be the best path for you, whether that's career or otherwise, because you're just going to get kind of frustrated. Because most of the time, you know, most of the time people don't show up for your gigs. Most of the time you're paying to a small room. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you're not going to make a lot of money. And most of the time, the bars, whoever's hiring you, aren't going to be giving you like what you think you're worth. And everything you buy costs a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? As the great philosopher Pearl Bailey once said, money isn't everything. There's no two ways about it. But while we're here, Santa dear, it's much better with than without it. Mm. Now, Santa dear, I could be real good and not do nothing funny. If you do like I ask you, stop right by Christmas night and try me. Try me. Just try me, honey. Santa, can you hear me? Give me that 5-pound box of money.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
One of my favorite Christmas songs ever.
That's going to starting off our incredibly strange Christmas music. You know, I can't believe that people don't know about Pearl Bailey's 5-pound box of money song and that drag queens don't lip sync that. It's sure a perfect. I've never seen
you know
a drag
what it
queen
is. It's old, ever. Fausto. That song is 50 years old.
And please, I've done older
not,
songs.
If it's not by Taylor Swift or Nicki Minaj or you know Kesha,
you
they
can,
don't know
we got
it.
Internet. We got Google. You got Feast of Fun, honey. We get you connected to your history and herstory and themstory.
Dubstery?
The Z-story. You know, Pearl Bailey did this amazing song, basically, that it's kind of like, you know, Eartha Kitt started the whole, like, let's embrace the commercialization of Christmas, you know, with Santa Baby. But Pearl Bailey took it one step forward, and she does this song that she's just like, honey, you may say me all these nice things this Christmas, but money, I would like some checks mm-hmm. and cash. As Tina Turner said, American Express will do nicely. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Oh, I got to find out this song.
Yeah, it's a great song we'll to lip sync for people.
Thank you.
Cece LaRouge, it's always nice to hang out with you. You look gorgeous. You know, we took some great photos of Cece. If you guys want to look at them, they're on our website, mm-hmm. feastoffun.com.
And this outfit is so great. It's amazing what you can do with a Christmas tree skirt.
Well, you know, look at the good I do.
Is that a Christmas tree skirt?
No, I just know how to make a circle skirt. Girl.
It's her cardinal outfit.
Look at that. She's like, you know,
she's her own pope.
She's gonna get you to get on your knees and
kiss
get
the
communion
ring.
Wafer.
Now I need to have zippers right by my pelvis.
Oh,
guys, thank you so much for listening. To the people who are watching, thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Adios, senores.
You ready for another cocktail?
I am ready for more.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Mm-hmm.